On the top of Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, let's just go over the sugya as it begins on the bottom of Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. We established, based on our Mishnah, that after the Hakamas HaMishkan, Kodshim Kalim would be eaten B'chol Machni Yisrael. Rav Huna took this a step further and he said that Kodshim Kalim would be eaten B'chol Makomos Yisrael. In other words, there was no Machne Yisrael in the Midbar. And therefore, at the time of HaKomos HaMishkan, if there's no Machne Yisrael to limit the Achilas Kodshim Kalim, they can be eaten anywhere, even Chutz L'Machne Yisrael, because halachically, al pidin, there is no Machne Yisrael in the Midbar. The Gemara raised an objection against Rav Huna. How can you possibly say that there were no machnos and there's no machnos Yisrael in the midbar, and therefore there was no iser achilas kodshim chutz l'machne Yisrael? Well, we have a brisa that says to the same extent that there was a machne in the midbar, so too, in a parallel way, there was a machne in Yerushalayim. In other words, that from Yerushalayim up until the Har HaBayis, that was considered the machne Yisrael. From the Har HaBayis until the Shaar Niknar, we're going towards the Pnim, a higher level of Kedusha, towards the machne Leviyah. And beyond the machne Leviyah, we get to the machne Shechina. And the Brisa says, Vehein Hein, that this Makom, this area, this location from Shaar Niknar, Lifnim, going inside, has the din that parallels, that mirror images the Kloim Shaban Midbar. In any event, the Brisa is outspoken about the fact that in the Midbar there was an Isra Achilas Kodshim Michutz L'Machne Yisrael. Just like there was an Isra Achilas Kodshim Chutz L'Yerushalayim. In other words, the Brisa, what underlines the Brisa is an equation between the Machne Bamidbar and the Machne B'Yerushalayim. So the Gemara therefore is forced to refine the statement, the original position of Huna. And according to the reformulation, Rav Huna said that Kodshim Kalim would be eaten anywhere in Machne Yisrael. So therefore, if he was makriv a shlamim or any sort of Kodshim Kalim, and he had Basar Kodesh in his hand, then what Rav Huna wants to tell you is that when they took apart the Mishkan, they traveled from one point in the Midbar to another. They established a new chanoya, a new encampment in a second location. He would be able to eat the basar. And that's the liberal sort of heta, the permissibility that Rav Huna had in mind when he said, machnos b'midbar lo havi. In other words, there's no psul of Yotze. You would have thought that once they took apart the Mishkan, there were no longer din of Machnos, and then the Basar Kodshim is now exited from the Machne, and it would be possibly din Yotze. The Chiddush here of Rav Huna is that the Basar is not subject to psul Yotze. And Rav Huna in fact derives this from the Pasuk at the beginning of Sefer HaMidbar, V'nasa Oel Mo'ed, which means that even when the Ol Moed was being moved, it was disassembled and it was transported from place to place, there was still a din of Machnos, there was no psul of Yotze. The Gemara then quotes Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. This was the last thing that we covered in the previous shiur. And he holds that in addition to the three Machnos that we've mentioned, there was another Machne, which is called the Chel v'Ezras Noshim. And this was the fourth machna, which was not subject to a din of shiluach machnos as far as a tamei is concerned. So that means if a tamei would enter into this area, which is called chel or ezras nashim, then there would be no punishment for such a thing. Then Reb Shimon bar Yochai adds another point, and he says in Shiloh there were only two machnos, and that's what's going to occupy our minds today. What does he mean that there were only two machnos in Shiloh? Meaning the third machna that we're familiar with did not exist in Shiloh. The Gemara wants to know which machnos did exist in Shiloh, which was the one that did not exist in Shiloh. And the Gemara here quotes a memra of Rabbah that it makes sense to say that in Shiloh there was a machna levia, and the only machna that was omitted or was missing in Shiloh was the machna Yisrael. Because what's his logic? What compels him to that conclusion? If there was no machna levia in Shiloh, then it would come out that Zavim and Tmei Mesim, who are permitted in the Machna Yisrael, would just be sent out of the Machna Shechina, because there is no Machna Levi according to this Hava Mina. So arguing from the opposite position, it couldn't be that there's no Machna Levi, because the Torah says Machnehem, meaning that we have to send the Tmei Mesim and the Zavim out of two Machnos. And there must have been at least two Machnos. So the two Machnos that you have to send the Tmei Mesim out of would include, number one, the Machna Shechina, and number two, the Machna Levia. So the Zav has to be sent out of the Machna Levia. And therefore, it must be that in Shiloh there was a Machna Levia. And here we're on the top of Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Omer Alf, which is our Omer for today, our Daf for today. And it says on the third line, Tein Machna Lazeh U Machna Lazeh. Which means that you have to send the Tmei Mesim at a Machna Shechina, and you have to send out the Zavim, out of an extra Machna, besides the first Machna. That means send them out of Machna Levia, therefore in Shiloh there must be a Machna Levia. It comes out that the proof, the compelling logic of Rabbah to assume that in Shiloh is Machna Levia, is the din of Zavim. In order to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Shiluach Zavim, the same did applies, by the way, to Bali Keri, out of Shtei Machnos, it must be that there was both a Machna Shechina and a Machna Yisrael. What was missing, a Machna Shechina and a Machna Levia. What was missing is the third Machna, the Machna Yisrael. And the Gemara now objects to Rabbah and his proof that in Shiloh there was no Machna Yisrael. Amalei Rava turns to Rabbah and he says, Alamai, according to you, Machna Yisrael Ohavi, if this be the case, Nimtzu Zavim Umitzoroim Mishtalchim Lemakom Echad. If all you have is a Machna Levia, that means the Zav is sent out of the Machna Levia, the Mitzora likewise is sent out of the Machna Levia. And that's a problem, because the Torah says, with regard to a Mitzora Bodod Yeshev, and now you're sending both the Zav and the Mitzora to the exact same location. That means outside of the Machna Levia. And then you're not fulfilling the Pasuk in Mitzora, which is in Vayikra Perek Yud Gimel, Bodod Yeshev, Shelo Yeshev Tomei Acher Imo, meaning you have to send the Mitzora to a place where no other Tomei is sent out of. Or say it the other way around. I should say it the other way around. That send out the Mitzora to a place where no other Tomei is allowed to be. it comes out like this. If you're telling me that the Zav is allowed to be out of the Machna Leviya and the Machna Yisrael, in the case of Shiloh, then the Zav is not going to be Badad Yeshev. He's not going to be located in a location where there are no other Tmeim that are allowed in this location, so to speak. But now we're saying that the Zav is in this location. The Keren Ori is quoted as following. He says, the question of Rava of from Zavim and Mitzorayim should not only be raised with regard to Shiloh, but also with regard to Nov Vegivon. Because for sure in Nov Vegivon, there was no Machni Yisrael. And once again, we come to the conclusion that Zavim and Mitzorayim was Shtalchen L'Mokom Echad. So Ayin Shom, take a look in the Keren Ora and see how he deals with this question. The Rav from the Brisky Yeshiva here also adds another kashya, because Gilgal is also a problem because there was no Machni Yisrael. So it's not absolutely clear why the Gemara is focused here on Shiloh. The same objection that Rav raises with regard to Shiloh couldn't be raised with regard to Gilgal and Nov and Givon. Now, what we said before is quoted here, the name of the Zivchei Ephraim, one of the Achronim, that from the Gemara's question, Badad Yeshev, you see that we have to send out the Mitzorah to a Makom, to a place where Ein Meshalchim L'Sham Zavin, the Zav is not sent there. In other words, no other Tmeim are sent there. And if there's no Machni Yisrael, then the Mitzorah is being sent to a place where even the Zavim are sent. There's the Kiyum of Shiluach HaZav in that place, which is called Machna, outside the Machna Leviya, is the exact same place where you find the Mitzorah. And that's a problem. Ella, so therefore Rava says the following, Li'olam Kulu Tlosahavi. In Shiloh, in truth, there were all three Machnos, and they would send out the Tmeim, each one respectively according to its din, which means that the Zav would be sent out of two Machnos, the Tobi Mess out of one Machna, and when we get to the Mitzorah, we send about a three Machnos, meaning out into the third Machna. So there were two Machnos. Oh, so now, Rava wants to interpret the Braisa in a whole new way. We had the Braisa of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, and he says that B'Shilo lo hayu ela shtei Machnos Bilvad, and now Rav is saying, no, we had all three Machnos in Shiloh. So we mekayim the din of Shiluach HaMetzorah Badad Yeshev out of the third Machna. So what does it mean in the Braiser of Shimon Bar Yochai when it says Shlo Hayu Ela Shtei Machnos? The answer is L'Klita. We're dealing with a whole different parasha here, not with the halachas of Machnos as far as Kedushas HaMachnos and Shiluach Tmeim in HaMachnos and the Iser Knisa V'Tomei into the Machna, but rather to the laws of Ari Miklot of Klitas Rotzeach B'Shoging, a man who committed murder unintentionally, he's trying to run away and find refuge from the Gol Adam, and he has to run to an Ir Miklot. And the law is that Machna Leviya has the power to be Koled Rotzeach. You don't have to go to an Ir Miklot, but he can protect himself from the Gol Adam if he finds himself in the Machna Leviya. In Shiloh, there was no Machna Leviya, not as far as Kedushas Machna, as far as Shiluach Tmeim is concerned, but rather there was no Machna Leviya as far as Klitas Rotzeach. And the question here is why these two dimensions of Machna Leviya, and what the relationship is between the two, and why in the case of Shiloh there's no status of Machna Leviya as far as Klitas Rotzeach B'Shogeg. The Gemara raises a different question, and that is, if the Brice indeed was stating the way Rav interprets it now, that Shiloh was not kolet as a Machna Leviya, didn't have a Machna Leviya to be kolet, is Michalal de Bamidbar Havi kol to Machna Leviya. What you're telling me is that there was a Klitas Machna Levia before Shiloh, namely back in the Midbar. And the Gemara says in, that's exactly the conclusion that you should derive, and I'll prove it to you. Vatanya, we have a brisa to support that position. Then in the parasha of Rotzech in Shmos Chaf Aleph, it says, "Asher lo tzada v'samti lecha mokom asher yonos shama." And we're interpreting the pasuk that Kodesh Baruch is promising Moshe. V'samti lecha, lecha means b'chayecha mokom. In other words, you will be zocher to see in your lifetime a city of refuge, so to speak, and a location that has the power of klita. And how is this possible? After all, Moshe Rabbeinu terminated his life in the Midbar. But it must be that Moshe Rabbeinu set up an ir miklat before he died. And in fact, at the end of the 40 years of his stay in the Midbar, Moshe designates three ari miklat. But the brisa is not finished. The brisa now, after interpreting the pasuk in Shmos, goes on to the end of the pasuk. The pasuk says that makom. The emphasis here is not on lecha, but makom. The word after lecha is makom asher yonoshah. What's makom here in this case? And the brisa darshins, that's the machna levia, which serves and functions as a miklat, asher yonos shama. Melamed shemegalim, in other words, there's a golus of the horig b'shogeg, b'midbar, even in the midbar. Where is this makom miklat that could protect the rotzeh b'shogeg from the killing of the gol adam, leheichon? Leheichon golem achna levia. This was called Makomo Shel Moshe. In other words, when it says Samti Lucham Makom, it's Makomo Shel Moshe. That's called the Machna Levia. Moshe lived encamped in the Machna Levia around the Machna Shechina. And then later on, when Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, then there would be 48 Ari Leviim, and the Machna Levia would now take on a different form. It would manifest itself in the 48 Ari Leviim, and they, each one of these 48, would serve as an ir miklat. We'll soon see that the 48 is really divided into two categories, 42 plus 6. Each category had its different din. But this is all clarified in the Sugya Masechta Makas on Daf Yud Amud Aleph. So now we see that the Braisa certainly held that there was a Machna Levia in the Midbar that had the power of Klita. Against once they entered into Eretz Yisrael, the Klita power was transferred to the 48 Ariel HaLeviim, and that's where the Golus would take place in the protection from the Rotzeach. But now it comes out that Shiloh, as far as Machna Levia is concerned, did not have the power of Klita. Now, the Braisa adds another dimension to how to interpret this pasuk of Samti Lecha Makom. Lecha means Lechol B'nei Levi. In other words, let's say that one of the Levim himself, Nebuch, was a Rotzeach B'shogeg, you know, and intentionally killed someone. He also needs Golos. He has to protect himself from the Gol Adam. How does he find protection? You might say that he's local talent. This is his area. He's not moving from the spot. Does he have protection? Where's the golus here? The golus means to leave your place in exile. Mikan Omru ben Levi Shaharag Gola mi Pelach lepelach. He goes from one city. If he killed in one city of the 48 cities of Levium, he killed B'shogeg, then he goes into Golos, into another city of the Levim. That's called Mipelach Lepelach. V'im Golo Lepilko is Pilko Kolto. If the Levi who killed B'shogeg in his city did not run to a different city, but rather ran from one area of the city to another, that's called Lepilko, then Pilko Koletas also. And that's exactly what happened if we take if we turn the clock back to the Midbar period, where the Leviim in the Machna Leviya, if they killed somebody b'shogeg Nebuch, they had a klita in the Machna Leviya. They just had to go from one area, one shkuna, to another, and that's called Pilko Kolto. Moses has a dissection of the word pilko. Okay, that's not for us now. Mikra, what's the pasuk from which we derive that a ben Levi who goes into pilko, in other words, he doesn't go out of his city, but he goes from another one shkuna to another, one area of this district to another area, that's klita, that's galus. What's the source for that? Omer of Acha, Bereid of Ika. In the parasha of Ari Miklat, it says in Bamidbar Lamed Hey, Ki Be'ir Miklato Yeshev. And what do we darshan? Ir Shekolatito Kvar. In other words, even though he has to go from one shchuna to another shchuna in Golus, nevertheless, he doesn't have to leave one city and go to another city. He's already in a city that has the power of Klita, and he just has to move and relocate from shchuna to shchuna. Now, the Mishnah in Masechta Makos on Yud Beis on Yud Beis tells us that if somebody kills Bishogeg, and he was Gola to an Ir Miklat, and in that same city he killed another person, Bishogeg, he's not allowed to leave the city, because in the aftermath of the first Ritzicha, the Gola Adam could kill him if he leaves the city, and therefore he has to be Gola Mishchuna L'Shchuna. So that's another case of Shchuna L'Shchuna. The Mishnah also establishes a Ben Levi who lives in one of the cities of Leviim, which are all empowered with the status of Ari Mikla, and he killed Bishogeg, he has to go to another city. And the Gemara there in Makkos quotes the Braisa that we have here in our Sugyan Zvachim, that Ben Levi is Gola Lepilko, which means he goes from Shkuna Leshkuna, he doesn't have to go from one city to another. And the question here is, what is the source that teaches us that din, that a Ben Levi who goes from Shkuna Shkuna, that's enough to be calling him? Here, the Gemara derives it from the Pasuk Ki Be'ir Miklato Yeshev. He can remain within his city. But again, we could derive it Lechora from the Midbar, where the Leviim were Gola to the Machna Leviya. And the comparable case in Eretz Yisrael would be a Ben Levi goes from one area of his city of the Ari Levim to another, and that's called Mipilko, Lipilko is cult. The Mishnah back on Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis established that when the Jewish people arrived in Gilgal after crossing the Yarden, there was a heter bamos. And now we want to know, what were they makriv in a bama? We've touched on this in the past, but we didn't get into detail. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa, kol nidar v'nidav hayakarev bibama. Okay, we're starting a gigantic sugya now. And B'siyata D'Shmaya, we'll try to get clarity in this sugya. The Brice establishes a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Chacham. And what we're talking about is where karbonos and which karbonos could be brought on a bama. And we can differentiate between what's called a bama ketana and a bama gdola. For example, before the Mishkan was established in the Midbar, there was a Heter Bamos, and that Heter Bamos is referring to a Bama Ketana. The Mishkan itself has a special status of a Migdash, but once they crossed over the Jordan River and they entered into Eretz Yisrael, they get to a place called Gilgal, and in Gilgal what they have is a Bama Gedola, and that Bama Gedola is going to repeat itself in the cases of Nov and Givon later on, and we have Mishkan, and we have Shiloh, we have Migdash, that's already a din of Beis HaMikdash. So we're going to focus our attention on the following: the Heter Bamos, which means the private Bama, that's called the Bama Ketana. And during certain periods of time, when there was a Bama Gedola, for example, there was a Heter Bamos for a Bama Ketana. And the Bama Gedola, which refers now to Gilgal and No Forgiven, that had a special status. And the Brisa establishes now that with regard to a karbon that's not a chova, meaning it's a neder or a nedava, that neder or nedava can be brought by a yachid on a private bama b'bama katana during the time of heter bamos. And a bama gedola was a place that was designated for the akrava of karbonos tzibur. And we're going to see that according to one school of thought, the only karban chova that could be brought by a yachid is in a bama ketana. Once they arrived at a bama gedola is a bama hatzibur, then the yachid cannot bring a karban chova. Okay, so then what we're saying now is the following. As far as a carbon adov is concerned, that's going to be the classical case where a yachid can bring his carbon adov on a bama ketana. A bama gedola, as we said before, is not really designated for the yachid. So, for example, if the yachid wants to bring a carbon chova like a chatas v'yosham, which we'll discuss a little bit later on a bama gedola, that he cannot do. And we'll see if everybody agrees to that. Now just one second, I wrote down a summary of the sheet. Here it is. Okay, so we're going to talk about Rabbi Meir, we're going to talk about Rabbi Yehuda, we're talk about the Chachamim. In fact, there are two different Chachamim here, two different groups of Chachamim. So far what we know is that according to this braisa, a carbon adava could be brought by a yachid and a bama ketana. And a bama gedola right now, we're saying, is designated for karbonos hatzibur, because a bama gedola is that, it's a bama hatzibur. And they can even bring a carbon chova. We're going to soon see that Reb Shimon whittles it down. Not every carbon chova can be brought on a bama gedola. But in any event, right now we're holding that any carbon tzibra that's a chova can be brought on a bama gedola. But a yachid cannot bring his carbon chova on a bama gedola. And that's what it says over here. She'ein nidar v'nidav. If you have a carbon that doesn't come b'nedava, it's not a voluntary carbon by its very essence, like chatas v'yoshim of a yachid, that only could be a carbon chova, is eno karev b'bama. Oh, now here we want to say the following. The chiddush here, the braisa, when it says ein karev b'bama, we can add the word klal. What do I mean by klal? That if the yachid is bringing a karban chova, then that's completely excluded from bama. As soon as you hear the word bama, and it doesn't matter what kind of bama you're dealing with, whether it's a private bama, or whether it's no v'givon, Gilgal no v'givon, and it's a public bama, there's no room for a karban yachid b'shal chova. So the whole concept of bama then, as far as we see it right here, and again we will fine-tune it a little bit later, but the whole concept of bama is exclusively relevant to a yachid who is bringing a karban adava, as opposed to chatas v'yashim. So chatas v'yashim right now, in a case of a yachid, is completely excluded from bama of any sort, whether it's called a bama ketana or bama gedola. If it's a karban chova, because chatas v'yoshim by definition is a karban chova. Now, when we talk about a karban adava, here it becomes a little bit complicated. Are we talking about a karban that the yachid is bringing as an adava, or we're talking about a category of karbanos, which the category lends itself to a Karban Nedava. So let's see the next part of the Braisa if we could address this question. Mincha Unezirus. Here we have a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachab. We're talking about, let's say in the case of Nezirus, a Nazir who became Tameh, he has to bring Karbonos, or at the end of his Nezirus, even Betari has to bring Karbonos. And the question is, can he bring these Karbonos on a Bama? We'll talk about a Bama Ketana. Because, can we classify this carbon as a carbon and dove? Now you'll tell me, wait a minute, he's a Nazir, he completed his Nazirus, or he was Tommy, whatever the case may be. He's chayav to bring this carbon Nazirus. So why, what's the Havamina here to discuss it as a nether and a dove? How could the Braisa possibly postulate Kraven Bibama? So this becomes the unique Shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that we don't look at the Chiyuv Karba now, at the moment of the Akrava, but rather we go back to the roots. Is this an absolute unconditional Karban Chova? For sure not, because who forced him to be a Nazir? He was never compelled to be a Nazir. He willingly accepted, took it upon himself to be a Nazir. That itself makes it into a Nedav and a Dova. So the original Machayev, again, now the Chiyuv is, he's a Nazir, he completes his Nazirus, etc., etc. He has to bring his Karbanos. But in its initial form, these Karbanos were Karbanos Neder Unedov. That's the Shita Rabbi Meir. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, on a Bomas Yochid, a Nazir could bring his Karbanos. Now again, if it was a Karban Chova in the pure sense, in the absolute sense, then Rabbi Meir would agree there's no room for a Karban Chova on a Bama. Now, that's true even in the case of a Bama Tzibur. Again, if we're talking about a Yochid who has a Chova, Rabbi Meir would agree he cannot bring his Karban Chova, if it's pure 100% Chova, on a Bama Tzibur. And Rashi here, there's a long Rashi, which you'll see, you know, the lines of Rashi basically go thin, then wider, and then widest. If you begin the middle-sized, widest, wider lines, not the widest lines, which are the last three on the bottom of the Omid, but the second of the wide lines, middle-sized wide lines, he says, V'ikasha l'Rabbi Meir. And here, Rashi has a shtickle Torah. Very unusual of Rashi. He's like a Tosfos here with a Kash and a Teretz. And he asks, according to Rabbi Meir, how would it be possible in Gilgal, which has the status of a Bamas Tzibur, and you can't bring a Karban Chov of a Yachid on a Bamas Tzibur, how do they bring the Karban Pesach? And we know that they brought the Pesach in Gilgal. I mean, the Torah, the Tanakh says it in Yoshua Perek. Hey, Vayachnu Bnei Yisrael BaGilgal VaYasu Es HaPesach. Now we're talking about a Korban Chov Shel HaYochid, which can only be brought on a Bama Ketana. No, actually, let me even go beyond that. If it's a Korban Chov, can't even be, and it's a Yochid, it cannot be brought even on a Bama Ketana and even on a Bama Gedola. There's no Akrova. It's a Chov Shel HaYochid. Chov Shel HaYochid is Mufka from Bama, and that applies both to Bama Ketana and Bama Gedola. So insofar as Gilgal's status was that of a Bama Gedola, there's no possibility of bringing a Karban Chovah Shel Yochid, and certainly the Yochid, the individual, is chayv in the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. And Rashi, based on this compelling question, comes to the conclusion that the Pesach itself is a Karban Tzibur. In other words, even though there's certainly an obligation incumbent upon each Yochid to be makriv his Pesach, but nevertheless we makriv it b'toras karban tzibur. That's called b'knufya in Rashi's language. Basifas chaverin. So this has to be dissected here, the element of dimension of karban Pesach as a karban tzibur. But now the Chachamim are going to disagree with Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omrim lo karvu Yochid Ela olos ushlamim bilvad. Don't tell me that the karbanos of a nazir should be classified as a karban nidava, because the Nazir, when he completes his Naziris or he violates his Naziris Betumah, he's obligated in bringing these Karbonos. Those are Karbonos Chova. The fact that he was makabel on himself, Naziris, according to Chacham, that doesn't change the nature of the Karbon. The Karbon itself is a Karbon Chova. And a Karbon Chova cannot be Karev on a Bama. Not on a Bama's Yachid, nor on a Bama's Tzibur. And therefore, according to Chachamim, we go back to Olos Ushlamim Bilvad. When you talk about categories of Karbonos that are essentially Karbonos Nidarim Unidavas, you can talk about Ola and Shlamim. But as far as Karbon Nazir is concerned, a Karbon Nazir doesn't have the status of a Karbon Nidava. It's a Karbon Chova. Now, there's a discussion here about Menachos and whether or not they were Makriv Menachos on a Bama. But we'll leave that for the time being. Now, we're going to jump over to another Machlokas, and this is between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. So we have the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir, and there the Machlokas is whether or not a Nazir could bring his Karbonos on a Bama. The Sheet of Rabbi Meir is that the Nazir is in the category, because he was Mekabel's Nazir, is voluntarily of a Karbon Nedava, and therefore he can bring his Karbon on a Bama, where the Chachamim de Rabbi Meir hold no, Nazir has the status of a Karbon chov, and therefore he cannot bring it in a Bama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that kol shat zibur vayochid makrivim b'ol moed shebimidba makrivim b'ol moed shebigilgal. In other words, there's no difference between the ol moed in the Mishkan, which we said at din of a migdash, and the ol moed in Gilgal, which we call the bamas zibur or bama gedola. And what's the thrust, the impact of Rabbi Yehuda's chiddush? He wants to say that a bamas zibur lends itself to the hakrovas karbon chova shel yochid, meaning chatos v'osham. Meaning we know that a migdash itself, and that's the greatness of a migdash, lends itself, it's available, it invites a yochid to bring his karbon chova, like a chatos v'osham. Now we're saying that even a bama gdola, and in this case, we could talk about Gilgal as a prime example of a Bama Gedola. It has, with regard to Chovos, Karbon Chovos Shel Yochid, the same status as a Migdash. And therefore, a Yochid can bring a Chatas V'Yosham, despite the fact that it's pure Chova, on the Mizbeach in Gilgal, or for that matter, Nova Givon. And we see clearly from Rabbi Yehuda that according to Rabbi Meir and Chacham, who came before him in the Braisa, they would not be makriv a karbon of a yachid on a bamas tzibur. Rabosai, I want to read to you this line in the Masifta, and frankly I'm perplexed by it. Hopefully I'll make sense out of it at the end of this sugya. As I said, this is a long, complicated sugi that goes all the way through Kuf Yud Ches. And he writes that Ledas Rabbi Meir v'Chachamim, again, we're talking now about the issue of a Karbon Chovah Shel Yachid on a Bama, and that means Chatos V'Yasham. Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said, and he was the radical revolutionary Shita here in this Braisa, that a Yachid could bring a Karbon Chovah on a bamas tzibur. L'das Rabbi Meir v'chachom, I'm just reading the text here, lo hikrivu b'bamas tzibur klal karbonas shel yochid. And then he writes, af lo shel chova, af lo karbonos chova. This means clearly that no Karbon Yochid was brought on a Bamas Tzibur. And frankly speaking, I don't know where he got that from. He has no footnote. And if you're telling me that according to Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, there's no Karban Chova on a Bamas Tzibur in terms of a Yachid, that I understand. That's for sure. But if you're talking about not bringing any Karban, right, again, Lo Krivu B'Bamas Tzibur Klal Karbano Shel Yachid, how does he know such a thing? In fact, if you take a look at Rashi, Adibra Maskel Kol Shat Tzibur, which is a long Rashi, but we're going to focus on a few words in Rashi that are about, let's see, from the bottom of the Amud here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines up from the bottom of the Amud, Rashi says, She'ein Yochid Makriv Bo Chovos. When he's talking about Gilgal, he's telling you that a Yochid cannot be Makriv a Karbon Chova. And he's clearly going according to Rabbein the Chachamim, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Adarabba, a Yochid can be Makriv a Karbon Chova, a Karbon Chova on a Bamas Tzibur, in Gilgal. Correct? Yochid Makriv Afilu Karbonas Chova Kagon Chatos V'Yoshim B'Bama G'dol. So he's talking, and if you look the line before, you'll see he says it explicitly, Rabbi Meir Rabbanon. And he's talking about Tamayu, who he explains. And he says Makriv Bo Chovos. He doesn't say anything about a Karbon Nedava. You know, so he's clearly talking about Osham and Chatos, not about a Karbon of Nedav and Nedava, Shlomim. And he writes, "V'tamayu nami shaminu l'kamon dafilu bebama gedola lo karvi li yachid ela nedar minedavos." He's outspoken, black and white, that on a bama gedola, a yachid is allowed to bring nedar minedavos. So I don't know what he means here when he says that bebamas tzibur lo ekrivu klal karbanos shel yachid. And then he writes, "Af lo chova," meaning it's upgaret that he can't bring a carbon dove. I'm not sure if again he might be saying that since there's if and when there's a heter bamos, then we have a right to say to a yachid, you know what, you want to take upon yourself a neder and a dove to bring a carbon, go do it in your backyard or on your rooftop, set up your own personal altar. We're not going to bother with you in a bamas tzibur, because that's dedicated earmarked for the tzibur, not for the yachid. But I don't see any raya for that. And on the contrary, to me, it looks like Rashi is explicit. If you take a look at Tosvis, Divra Maskel Kol HaNidar V'Nidav Karev Bibama, he writes on the third line, V'Chovos D'Yachid Afilu B'Gdol Lo Karve. So he's talking about the Karbon Chova. And a Karbon Chova is Mufka from a Bama Gdola. I don't know anything about a Nidavas HaYochid. He's talking about a Chovas Yochid. Okay, so let me go on, because I don't want to spend the entire time that we have on that point. Let's just summarize what we know. It comes out that according to Rabbi Yehuda, well, let's start with Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, even Karbonus Nazir could be brought on a Bama Ketana, because it was a result of his self-acceptance, his voluntary acceptance. Rabbi Yehuda says that a Yachid in a Bama Ketana is only for Nedarim and Nedavos. We'll soon see that he derives this from the word Yashar. But in a Bama Gdola, a Yachid could be Makriv even a Karban Chova like Chatos V'Yasham, whereas the Chachamim hold that even in a Bamas Tzibur, they weren't Makriv on behalf of a Yachid a Karban Chova like Chatos V'Yasham. And here he's disagreeing with the Chachamim, disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda, but it would seem that a Yochid could bring a voluntary carbon, a carbon neder nedava on a Bamas Tzibur. That's the impression we get, although it's a little bit misleading what we see here. So on Abomas Tzibur, according to Chachamim, there was no Karban Chovah of a Yachid. Again, the Tzibur will soon see how the Chacham derived this could bring a Chovah, a Karban Chovah, on a Bama Gedola, and that's basically the essence of what a Karban, of what the Mizbeach is all about, what it's busy doing in terms of a Bama Gedola, a Bama Tzibur. And on Omid Beis, we're going to get to the Alfusa, how the Chachamim know that a Karban Chovah of the Tzibur can be brought on a Bama Gedola. Now, as far as Karbanos Tzibur is concerned, we said that there's no difference here between Oel Moed Shebegilgal and Oel Moed Shebemidbar, meaning that the Bamas Tzibur has the same status as a Migdash, so to speak, as far as Karbanos Tzibur is concerned, our concern. And that's going to lead us to the Shita of Rav Shimon in just a minute, but first, we'll get back to the Braisa. The Braisa says the following: according to Rav Yehuda, what's the difference? Ma bein ol moed shebemidbar lebein ol moed shebegilgal. After all, we've just established that basically, since the carbon chov of a yachid can be brought on a bomas tzibur, like for example Gilgal. So what's the difference between Gilgal and a Migdash, and a Mishkan? If it also, even a Bamas Tzibur invites the Yochid to bring his Karban Chovah. And the Gemara answers, the whole Nafkamina is about Heter Bamos, that Ol Moed Shebemidbar is Lohoyu Bamos Mutaros. The establishment of the Migdash, which we'll call the Mishkan, generates an Iser Akrava B'Bamos. Whereas in the period of Ol Moed Shebegilgal, and for that matter, no Vegivon, Hoyu Abamos Mutaros. But as far as what you makriv on Abamos Tzibur, forgetting about the Heter Bamos, there's no difference between a Bamos Tzibur and the Mishkan itself, the Ol Moed in the Midbar. On. Now, where is the Bama? So the Braisa mentions that Bamaso, as the Bamas Yachid, is Barosh Gago. And when it comes to a Bama Ktana, which is a Bamas Yachid, then we're limited to Olon Shlomim. And if you remember, Rabbi Meir includes Nazirus as well. Then we get to the Chacham. For Chachamim Omrim, Kol Shat Sibur Makriven Biol Moed Bamidbar Makriven Biol Moed Shebegilgal. So again, we're not talking now about a Yachid. Let's talk about the Tzibur bringing a Karban. Any Karban that the Tzibur would bring in a Migdash, in a Mishkan, for example, Ol Moed Bamidbar, they would bring in a Bamas Tzibur in Gilgal. V'kan v'kan lo karvu yachid ela ola ushlamim bilvad. Now, it's a little bit, you know, tricky here. Don't assume that kan v'kan is referring to a mishkan or a migdash, because a migdash certainly invites a yachid to bring his karban chovah, his chatas v'yosham. But we're talking now about the status of a Bamas Yochid and a Bamas Tzibur. Correct? So when it says Kan V'Kan, it's really going back to the last line in Rabbi Yehuda, or in the Braisa before Chacham, and when they spoke about Barosh Gago, that's called a Bama Ktana, his personal Bamas Yochid. And now we're moving on to Ma'ol Moed Shebegilgo, which is a Bamas Tzibur. But again, we're talking about Dine Bamos here. Is we were not makriv, according to Chachamim, the carbon of a Yachid, if it's a carbon chova, neither in a Bamas Yachid nor in a Bamas Tzibur. But then he says, Ela Olu Shlomim Bilvad. It seems like Olu Shlomim, insofar as these are Karbanos Nedova, could be brought both on a Bamas Yachid and a Bamas Tzibur, which again, I don't know what he meant before here in this note. And the reason why the Chachamim isolate Olo Shlomim, what happened to Mincha Nezirus, the answer is because the Chachamim, as we saw earlier in the Braisa, rejected Rabbi Meir. They were not on board with the concept, well, it's the Nazir who accepted upon himself voluntarily to be a Nazir, and therefore the Karban of a Nazir has the status of a Karban Adova. No. Once having accepted the Nazirus, now he has a Chova, determination of the Nazirus, to bring a Karban Nazir, and that's a Karban Chova of a Yachid. It doesn't have the same status as Olo Shlomen, which is the Bin Adova, and therefore cannot be brought neither on a Bamas Yachid nor on a Bamas Tzibur. Could only be brought in a Mishkan, which would mean Ol Moed Shebemidbar, would mean Shiloh, it would mean Shlomo Melech's Beis HaMikdash. Now, all the Tanoim up until Reb Shimon, which we're about to make that turning point, agree that the status of Karbanos Tzibur, meaning if you ask what's the status of Gilgal as far as Karbanos Tzibur is concerned, in this context, Gilgal as a Bamas Tzibur has the same status as the Ol Moed Shebemidbar, meaning as a Mikdash. And now we get to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon actually limits and restricts the power or the range of a Bamas Tzibur as far as Karbanos Tzibur is concerned. Sha'af Tzibur Lo Ekrivu, we're talking about Bama Gdola, Bama Tzibur, Ella Psachim, and here we turn to Kuf Yud Zayin of the days, Vechovos Shekavu Lehem Zman. Now, there are Karbanos Chova that according to Rav Shimon, even though they're obligatory incumbent upon the Tzibur, they cannot be brought on a Bamas Tzibur. And this really, in a sense, sharpens, again, only within the context of Rav Shimon, our focus, our perspective on a Bamas Tzibur, and why we call it a Bama, and it's not called a Migdash. Again, it doesn't engender an Iser HaKrova B'Bamas Yachid, that's fundamental, but now we have another distinction, and that is that whereas a Migdash or a Mishkan is open to invite any Karban Tzibur, it doesn't matter what the nature of that Karban Tzibur is, that's not true according to Reb Shimon with regard to a Bamas Tzibur, with regard to Gilgal, Nov, and Givon. And we're going to use the Karban Pesach as a prime example. Again, this is all based on what we discussed before in the context of Rashi, that a Karban Pesach has the status of a Karban Tzibur, which is itself is a big chiddush. Rashi calls it Kenufia, the Yossi B'Kenufia. And the nature of Karban Pesach as your paradigm, if you will, of the Karban that's brought in Gilgal, because the Pasuk in Yeshua testifies that they brought the Karban Pesach in Gilgal when they crossed over the Yarden, is a Chova Kavua Lehem Zman. Now, what's included in Chova Kavua Lehem Zman and what's excluded therein? And the answer is, and this we'll see both earlier in the Mishnah Kuf Yud Beis and later in the Sugyan Kuf Yud Ches, a Karban Kavu Lehem Zman, Chova Shekavu Lehem Zman, is it Karban Tamid or Karban Musaf? We'll have to see about Karbanos Regolim in general, but Par Helim Dovashal Tzibur or Seire Avodah Zorah, which are Karbanos that are brought in the case where Sanhedrin made a toast in Horah, in something that would generate an Isur Kares, and in the case of Avodah Zorah, they handed down a verdict in a mistaken way about allowing a certain Avodah Zorah. These Karbanos are a Karbanos Tzibur, because Rov the Tzibur was guilty of violating the Avera, the Isur Kares, based on the Horaz Bez Nebetos. And number two, these are Karbanos Chova. You would think that to the extent in which the halacha recognizes a bamas tzibur, then insofar as the fact that these karbanos brought for a violation of a Karis based on Sanhedrin are Karbonos Tzibur and the Bechova, then certainly they should be brought on a Bomas Tzibur. But the answer is, says Reb Shimon, no. It's got to be Dumya the Karbon Pesach. It's got to be a Chova Shekavulahem Zman. And that, we said, has to do with Tamid and Musa, but not these other Karbonos, which are generated, they incur a Chiyuv in a certain episode, a certain moment in time. Now, the Gemara wants to analyze the din of Rabbi Meir, and the source for the din of Rabbi Meir. And this is the din that even the Chachamim accepted in principle. Again, there's going to be an afkemina between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim as far as Menachos and Naziris is concerned. But fundamentally, if you're talking about a Karbon that's brought on a Bama Ketana, both Chacham and Meir identify that carbon as a carbon neder unedava. And what's the source for this? My time with the Rabbi Meir, the Amakra, the Pasuk says, this is a Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Bnei Yisrael about the carbonos and the dinim that would apply when they cross the Yarden. I believe it's in Parshas Re'eh. It says, "Lo sa'asun kechol asher anachnu osim po hayom ish kol hayosher bi'enof." Amar lehem Moshe Yisrael ki ayalisu la'aretz. When you're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, and the Bama Gdola, the Olmoed, is going to be established in Gilgal, don't bring karbonos there as we bring them in the Midbar. There's going to be a shift. Lo tasun kichol anashu osim po. It's not going to be the same set of rules that applied here in the Midbar. Why? Because today we are makriv in the Ol Moed, meaning in the Mishkan, all karbonos, whether they're chavos kavulem zman, whether they're ain kavulos zman, whether it's a karbon tzibur or even a karbon yachid. But there, after crossing the Yarden, and we get to Gilgal, and we're talking not about a Mishkan, but about a Bama, is then bring Ish kol hayosher bi'enof. Ish is a reference to a Yochid. And we'll talk about this in great detail later. Kol hayosher bi'enof is Yesharos. Yesharos means karbonos that it seemed to be the right thing to do in his eyes, to be makir of them, which means that he took upon himself voluntarily as a neder and a dove to bring these karbonos, takrivu, that you're allowed to bring on the Mizbeach in Gilgal on the Bavas Tzibur. Chovos, however, karbon chova, for example, chatos v'yasham, lo sakrivu. Again, we haven't mentioned yet Menachos and Nazirus. Because at this point, you would say to me that Nazirus certainly is a carbon chova, and therefore there's no possibility of bringing a carbon nazir in Gilgal. But we're going to soon see how the Gemara deals with that in terms of Rabbi Meir. So, in other words, the pasuk, according to Rabbi Meir, is not distinguishing between a bamas yochin and a bamas tzibur. And a yachid can't be makriv, karbonas chova, neither in a bamas yachid or not even in a bamas tzibur. That's as far as karbonas chova is concerned, because the whole deal of a bamas tzibur is only ish kol hayosher bi'enov, it's only a karbon neder nedava. But tzibur, you could only be makriv a karbon chova if the tzibur has to bring that chova. And that they'll bring on a bamas tzibur, but the yachid, if he's bringing a karbon chova, that's not called ish kol hayosher bi'enov, and that he cannot bring on the bamas tzibur. Now, everything that we've said until now is true, even according to the chachamim of Rav Meir. But here's where we part ways, because menachos unezirus yesharos ninu. Rabbi Meir's mechadesh that the karbonus of nezirus is not going to be considered a karbon chova, but rather it's yosher bi'enov. It's a karbon nedava. Why? Because the nazir committed himself voluntarily to accept upon himself nezirus. Rabbanon, They disagree with Rabbi Meir. Now, do they disagree with Rabbi Meir on one point or on 2 points? They certainly disagree with Rabbi Meir about the status of Karbonus Nazirus, and they classify and define Nazirus as a Karbon Chova. There was, you know, although, you know, the Nazir accepted upon himself to be a Nazir, he never accepted upon himself to bring Karbonus of a Nazir. That wasn't really included in his Kabbalah. And for that, we'd have to learn Masechta Nedarim. But in any event, he really accepted upon himself an Isur Yayin, Shtiyas Yayin, and Isur Tiglachas. But Memela, once he's a Nazir in Gavra, then he's Chayav of these Karbonus. But those Karbonus of a Karbon Chov. But, although that is crystal clear, there's another, shall we say, more discreet element of Plukta between Chachamim and Rabbi Meir. And that is that according to the Rabbanon, Ein Mincha Bibama. And the impression you get here, Ein Mincha Bibama, is that this is an absolute halacha. Meaning, I'm wondering about the status of a minchas tzibur. There's a minchas tzibur, for example, the Kohen would bring a carbon mincha on a daily basis, the Kohen Gadol, minchas chavit, shel Kohen Gadol, that might have a status of a minchas tzibur. I don't know where that would fit in here. So let's just focus on a mincha shel yachid. And according to the Rabbanon, a minchas yachid is excluded from a bama, period. And it matters not whether we're talking about a bama katana or a bama gdola. And it's some sort of a mute in the pasuk to exclude mincha from a bama. And we're not sure why, because mincha could be brought as an edava. Now, Rashi says that the mute that excludes mincha bibama is in a pasuk at the end of Mishpatim that we've seen in the past, Shmos Chavdal, Vayishlach es Nari Bnei Yisrael, Vayalu Olos, Vayizbechu Zvachim Shlamim. And it would seem that the list of karbonos here that were brought, and again, this is on a bama. We're talking not only before the Mishkan, we're talking even before Matan Torah on the 5th of Sivan. These karbonos are zvachim shlomim as opposed to a mincha. So somehow Rashi derives that from the fact that on that bama they brought zvachim shlomim and not minachos, therefore we exclude minachos from a bama. Again, one could always counter-argue that that pasuk is talking about Har Sinai before HaKomas HaMishkan, and that was a Bamas Yachid, and maybe there's no Minchan Bamas Yachid. I'm not sure about Minchan Bamas Tzibur. I mean, the whole thrust of the Rabbanon is to say a Chiddush here that Karv Mincha of a Yachid is excluded even on a Bamas Tzibur. I don't know if you could derive that from the status of the Bama before Matan Torah. I mean, can you honestly argue that the Bama that was built by Moshe Rabbeinu before Matan Torah has the status of a Bama Gedol of a Bamas Tzibur? I don't know. That seems to defy our understanding. Now, there's another pasuk which the Chacham are going to quote very shortly, and that's in Vayikra Yud Zayin. There it says, Laman Asher Yaviu Zivcho Zivche Shlomim. That pasuk is after HaKomas HaMishkan. And Shlomim, Zivche Shlomim, is coming to exclude Mincha. It might also exclude Ophos. But be that as it may, that miut of Mincha certainly applies to a Bama Gdola, because we're talking about after HaKomas HaMishkan. Fine. So we're going to see that this sheet of the Chachamim that we're talking about now is what we call the Chachamim HaRishonim. Let me just make sure that that's correct. When I say Chachamim Rishonim, yeah, because we're talking about the Chachamim we're arguing with Rabbi Meir. The Braisa later on quotes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim that argue with Rabbi Yehuda. Those are the Chachamim Achronim, right, that are brought at the end of the Braisa. The Gemara later on is going to work hard to come up with an afkamina between the Chachamim Rishonim and the Chacham Achronim, and that has to do with whether or not they brought Nesachim in the Midbar. It would seem that barring that one single nafkamina about Nesachim, there is no nafkamina between the Chachamim of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda, meaning the Chacham Rishonim and the Chacham Achronim. There is no mincha bebama, period. Whether it's a bama gedola or a bama ktana. And if the drasha is from the pasuk Zivchei Shlamim, that's going to be memayit mincha in Perek Yud Zayin of Sefer Vayikra, that pasuk is clearly talking about a bama gedola that historically was built after Hakamas HaMishkan. Okay. Now, as far as the first point that we made, leaving out mincha for the time being, namely Nizirus, the Machlok Shim Rabbi Meir Chachamim, as far as a Nazir bringing his carbon on Bama, is we have a Chiddush in Shmuel, which Rabbi is not too happy about. Omer Shmuel Machlokes Bechatos Vi Asham Avol Biolos Ushlam Divrei Akol Yisharos Ninhu. The argument between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim as far as Nazir is concerned, Nazir has to bring an entire series of carbonos. Let's say when he finishes Naziris Betara, he brings an Ola, he brings a Chatos, and he brings a Shlomim. So the real problematic one on this list of three is going to be the Chatos. That's going to be the questionable one. If he became Tommy in the middle of his Naziris, he has to bring, instead of an Ola Chatos V'Yosham, he has to be a Chatos Ola. I'm sorry, instead of an Ola Chatos and Shlomim, he brings an Ola Chatos V'Yosham. And then he goes back to counting his Nazirs from start, Ayom HaRishonim Yiplu. So Shmuel's point is that the Rabbanon did not mean to reject and exclude all Karbonos of a Nazir without exception from Obama. What they meant to say was that the Chatos V'Asham, okay, now we're talking about a Nazir who became Tameh, correct? Im Nitma. Okay, fine. It doesn't matter really, but since he mentions Ola and Asham, Ola is true, is common to any carbon Nazir. But anyway, in these cases of a Chatos V'Asham, the Chacham disagrees, says Shmuel, with Rabbi Meir, because they classify these as Karbonos Chov. However, the Nazir, in the series of Karbonos that he brings, he also brings a Karbon Ola. And not only that, if he is not Tomei, he's just simply terminating his Nazir's Kilchas and Kibitzvasa, he brings a Karbon Shlamim. These Karbonos Ola Shlamim, which the Nazir is obligated to bring, is even the Chacham would agree, that's called Hayosher B'Einov. That's something that he accepted upon himself, b'neder u'nedova u'karve, and therefore we could be makrivit on a bama. Now, this is a little bit problematic on a conceptual basis. Forgetting about Rabba's counter argument based on a brisa, but just conceptually, to make this distinction, you know, to break up the karbonos of a nazir into two categories, that doesn't make any sense on the surface of it, because mimanafshach, either you accept the view that a nazir, since he is a self-accepted commitment, that's called that, and that commitment includes his karbanos, they were also, that makes his karbanos into nidava, or you assume that no, he accepted upon himself an iser shtias yayin, iser tiglachas, or tumas mes, he never accepted upon himself the karbanos, those are imposed upon him as a chova. And therefore, if you go with that second approach, that you classify Nazirus and the Karbonos of a Nazir as Chovah, that should include even Olos and Shlom. I don't understand Shmuel. And if, on the other hand, Shmuel is going to say that Olos and Shlom, even the Chacham agree, have the status of a Karbon Nedava, then why not go a step further and apply that logic to Chatos V'Yosham? And he quotes here in the footnote, it's actually footnote number Yud, a chiddush here of the chidushei basra, and let's see if I can find it. Yeah, he says that in the case of Ola and Shlomim, according to Shmuel in the Chachamim, a Nazir, when he accepted upon himself Naziris voluntarily, he included in that Kabbalah the Ola and Shlomim, whereas the Chatos V'Yoshem cannot possibly be included in his Neder. I think he's saying something about the nature of a Chatos V'Yoshem, that since these Karbonos, by definition, in their very essence, the way the Torah Halacha defines them, are Karbonos Chovah, they never can come B'Nedava, then you cannot possibly say that when the Nazir, before he became a Nazir, he's accepted upon himself for the Zeris, he voluntarily accepted upon himself to bring a Chatos V'Yoshem, because these Karbonos, by their very nature, their essence, are Mufka from being classified as a Karbon Nedava. But in the cases of Ola V'Yoshem, with the Ola V'Shlomim, which are classical Karbonos that can be brought as a self-imposed voluntary Karbon Nedava, the Kabbalas Nazirus, says Shmuel, included a commitment to bring Ola and Shlomim as Nidarin. In any event, Mosiv Rabba comes with a kash on Shmuel from a Braisa, and the Braisa says, Chazav Ashok, there's a din of Haromas, Chazav Ashok, in two cases, in the cases of Shlomim and a Karban Toda, and they have to be given to the Kohen. We have another category of Matnas Kahuna in Trumas Lachme Toda. In other words, from the 40 Lachamim that are brought by the Baal HaToda, the person who's Chayven and Karban Toda, four of them, representing each of the four tens, are separated and are given over to the Kohen. And the Braisa says, so again, these are Arba Chalos Hamuromos, Me Arba Mine Chalos. There are four categories, four different types, actually, of Chalos. Each category has 10 members to it, but take one representative of each of the four categories, give it to the Kohen. Is Noagim Bebama Gdolavein, Noagim Bebama Ketana. The Braisa commits itself to the position that if in a Bama Gdola, Shlomim or Toda were brought, then the Baal HaKarbon, the Baal HaShlomim, Baal HaToda has to separate the Chazav HaShok from Shlomim, the Trumas Lachmei Toda from the Toda, and give it to the Kohen. However, this does not apply in the case of a Boma Ketana. Meaning, if the individual, in the case of a Boma Ketana, was Makriv Shlomim or Toda, he's not obligated in these Matnos Kahuna, in the case of Shlomim, to be Makriv Chazav HaShok, and the case of Toda to be mafrish for Lechamim on behalf of the Kohen. Now, before we get to Rabba's Diuk, we might ask the question, well, what's the reason why in the case of Bama Ketana do we exclude these Matnos Kahuna? And the answer has to do with something called Tnufa, that the Mishnah back on Kuf Yud Gimel told us, we'll have to review that, but that's what it says in the Mishnah, there's no tnufa in a Bama Ketana. And these matanos require what we call harama or tnufa, you have to wave it around, there's no waving around in a Bama Ketana. Now the truth is that tnufa is written in the parasha of Chaz V'Shok in Shlomim. It doesn't really appear in the Torah in Trumas Lachmei Toda, but there's a Ksav Yad of Rashi quoting a Torah's Konim. They have a derivation for Trumas Lachmei Toda that requires Tnufa. Now, it's interesting that Rabbi Meir holds that there's a Mincha in a Bama Ketana, even though there's no Tnufa, and Chazav HaShok or Trumas Lachmei Toda should be Noeg in a Bama Ketana and just omit Tnufa. So in other words, we see Karbonos that are brought, according to Rabbi Meir, on a Bama Ketana without Tnufa. Why not just bring the Shlomim and the Lachmei and the Karbon Toda on a Karbon Toda on a Bama Ketana without Tnufa? And Tosus points out that in his teretz that the ikar mitzvah of chazav v'shok, or in same as trufa, trumas lachmi tod, is b'tnufa. And if there's no tnufa in the case of a bama ketana, then there's no chazav v'shok, there's no trumas lachmi tod. But mincha, the ikar mitzvah, is the kmitza in the haktara. And if you have to drop tnufa, then that's fine. Fine. Now we get to Rabba's diuk. What did Rabba see in this brisa? We are talking about matnos kahuna in the cases of karbon shlamim and todu, which also is considered kachim kal. So Rabba says, what happened to the case of Zroa B'Shela Me'ayil? In the case of the Shlom of a Nazir, he also, the Nazir, has to be Mafrish, a gift for the Kohen, that's called Zroa B'Shela Me'ayil. From the Isle of the Nazir, he has to take off the Zroa, and he has to cook the Zroa. And if we learn Chulin, a lot of laws about Tarovas, Isa V'Heter, with regard to Zroa B'Shela Me'ayil. Some might say that's the source for Tam Ki Iker. In any event, he now has to be mafrish, this nazir, the zroa b'shela, and give it to the kohen. V'shairi, and the brisa nevertheless left it out. Implying, in other words, the brisa should have said that zroa b'shela me'ayil in the case of shlom and nazir should only apply in a bama gdola and not in a bama ketana. The omission of this brisa seems to imply that there's no Shalmei Nazir in a Bama. Now, that makes sense before Shmuel, but it doesn't make sense after Shmuel. Before Shmuel, we would have said that Karbonos of a Nazir, from A to Z, from soup to nuts, all-inclusive, are Karbonos Chova, not Karbonos Nadava. And if they're Karbonos Chova, then the Chachamim Shita is that Karbonos Chova not brought on a Bama, period, any Bama. Now, why wasn't Shalmei Nazir mentioned here as far as Bama Gdol is concerned? Meaning, although Bama Ketan is excluded because of Tnufa, but what about Bama Gdola? And this is strange, unless we assume, in other words, the Bryce is talking about the accompaniments called the Matnos Kahuna of these various Karbonos, of Karbonos Shlomim, in the case of Chaz V'Shok, of Karbonos Toda, in the case of Lachmei Toda, and so forth and so on. But as far as the Karbon itself is brought, but without the Matnos Kahuna, because these Matonos are not Noeg on a Bama Ketana, in so far as the absence of Tnuf. But it seems that the case of Shalmei Nazir, which should have fit into this exact pattern, it should have been mentioned with the distinction between Bama's Ketana and Bama Gdola, is not mentioned because there is no Karbon. The Karbon Shalmei Nazir is not brought on the Mizbeach of a Bama Ketana, period. And therefore the whole discussion about Zrova V'Shela is completely irrelevant. It's not even theoretical. So, Iyamit Bishlam Biolu Shlomim Pligi, if you're going to go with a straight cut, and according to Chachamim, Karbonos of a Nazir excluded from a Bama. Why? Because they are considered Karbonos Chova, not Karbonos Nedova. Is Hamani Rabbanan he? The Rabbanan are the author of this Brisa. And therefore, they don't mention Zroa B'Shela because Shalmei Nazir are not brought on a Bama. Insofar as they are Karbonos Chova, not Karbonos Nedova. Eliyam, but if you accept Shmuel Shita, then Chatos V'Asham Pligi. But as far as Shalmei Nazir is concerned, the Karbon Shlomim, everybody agrees, can be brought on a Bama. Even the Chacham would agree that in such a case, it is a Karbon Nedova, it's not a Karbon Chova, Hamani. Then this Brisa is very difficult. Because the Brises should have mentioned Zroa B'Shela Me'ayil, which is knowing only in a Bama Gdola, not in a Bama Ketana. because you're going according to Shmuel, the Chacham agree that Shalmei Nozer are brought in a Bama because they have the status of Neder. So the Gemara therefore revamps Shmuel. Ela Itmar Hachi Itmar Omar Shmuel. What did Shmuel say? Machlokes. The Machlokes in Rabbi Meir Chacham is Biola Ushlamim Shel Nazir. I, the Braisa that Rabba quoted the Braisa, and the Chachomim seem to assume in that Braisa that even Shalmei Nazir are not brought on a Bama. We just said according to Shmuel that Shlamim of a Nazir can be brought on a Bama. Just one second. I'm sorry, I was stuck in the original Shmuel, but now in Roman numeral number 2. In the reformulation of Shmuel, Enochinami, the Chachomim would say that Ola and Shlomim of a Nazir cannot be brought in a Bama because those are Karbonos Chova. And therefore, the Braisa that we brought, that Rabbah brought, reflects the Sheet of the Chachomim, that Shalmei Nazir, Einam Kreivim Abana, there's no Heketimtza of bringing Shalmei Nazir on a Bama. And here's where Rabbi Meir disagrees with the Chacham, and he holds no, that the Nazir will bring his Karban Ola and his Karban Shlomim on a Bama. Amal b'chatos v'yosham shel Nazir is diriakol chovos ninu velo karvi b'bama. Even Rabbi Meir would agree that these are Karbanos Chova, and here we get back to the Svara that we mentioned before in the name of Rav Altuski. Now the Gemara turns its attention to the Shita of the Chachamim in the Braisa. Omar Mar, we saw in the Braisa of Chachamim, Omrim Kol Shahat Sibur Makrivim B'Oel Moed Shebemidbar, is Makrivim B'Oel Moed Shebegilgal. In other words, as far as a Karbon Chov of the Tzibur is concerned, you bring that even on a Bama. However, as far as a Karbon Yachid is concerned, the only carbon that can be brought on a Bama is going to be Olo Shlomim, meaning a carbon Nedav. How did Rabbanan know that although a voluntary carbon can be brought on a Bama, but a carbon Chova cannot be brought on a Bama, I mean a Chovas Yachid, but there's a separate halacha that a Bama Tzibur can invite the Tzibur to bring a Karban Chova. On my Kra, the Pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu says that when you cross the Yarden and you enter into the land and you establish the old Moed in Gilgal, is Ish Kalayosha Bi'enov, which means that Ish Yesharos Hu Delikruv Chovos de lo likruv. The Torah is telling you, Ish, that only with regard to Ish we're going to make this distinction between Nedarim and Nedavos, which is called Yesharos, and we're going to restrict the Yachid in terms of Gilgul, in terms of a Bama Gdola, to a Karban Nedava. And again, this is further proof that in a Bama Gdola the Yachid can bring a Karban Nedava. But Chovos Lolikravu, the Bama Gedola, which is a Bama Tzibur, does not invite the Yochid to bring a Karban Chova. But that's only because of Ish. So that exclusion, that it's got to be Yosha B'Enav, it's got to be a voluntary Nedava, that's only as far as Ish is concerned. But as far as the Tzibur is concerned, Afilu Chovos Lolikruv, the Tzibur is allowed to be Makriv, Karbanos Chova, on a Bama Tzibur. Which makes a lot of sense intuitively. If it's dedicated for the Tzibur, then for sure the Tzibur should be able to bring their Karbanos Chova. Now the Gemara wants to know, based on the way the Chachamim interpret this Pasuk, what are we going to do if we flip it around to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda was the one who held that a Yachid can be makriv even a Karban Chova on a Bama Gdola, on a Bama Tzibur. It says, Ish Kala Yashar B'Enov. Yashar B'Enov means that we're talking about his decision to do what he thinks is right, namely a karbon neder on dava. And here we're turning to Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amid Aleph on the top. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lecha, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with this pasuk? Is miksiv hayashar. It doesn't just say yashar, it says be'enav. So what does Rabbi Yehuda derive from the be'enav here? Be'enav hu d'ksiv. So the pasuk is telling us that a yachid, an ish, he's makriv only yashar, which means nedar menedavos. But that's only be'enav. Be'enav means not only as far as the decision to bring this karbon, namely that it's a neder nedav, it's a voluntary decision, but it also means a kind of be'enav, a kind of subjective personal mizbeach. In other words, in terms of where he's bringing the karbon, on what is he bringing the karbon. And that be'enav is telling you that you're talking about a bama ketana, which means that a yachid is excluded, his availability of a bama ketana be'enav for a yachid is limited to nidarm v'novas, ki yashar. Avol b'bama gedola, if the yachid wants to have access to a bama gedola, which is not be'enav, it's not something that's here today and gone tomorrow, but rather it's kavua, and it's mizumenes l'chol Yisrael, that bama gedola is open, so to speak, to invite all of the tzibur to enjoy and benefit from that bama, including the yachid. Meaning, not the tzibur, not only the tzibur as a tzibur, but even the yachid as a yachid. Afilu chovos nami likruv, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the yachid is allowed to have access or to enjoy the benefit of a bama gedol insofar as he's a member of the tzibur, even with regard to chova. So this restriction of yashar is only in a be'enav, which means only in a bama ketana. But in a bama gedola, then even a karban chova can be brought by a yachid. Whereas, according to the Chachamim, a yachid can only be makriv in a bama gedola, a neder, or a nedava, again, against that footnote that we mentioned earlier here in the Masifta. Now, the Gemara is still not happy here on the top of Kuf Yud Ches Amid Aleph with the Pasuk and the way Rabbi Yehuda reads the Pasuk. So the Gemara continues to press on this. Elahak Siv Ish. The Gemara now wants to focus on the word Ish, meaning that the Torah is definitely trying to limit or whittle down, restrict the ability of an ish, of a yachid, in terms of his ability to bring a karbon. And it says yashar be'enav, he's only allowed to bring a karbon nedava. And the Gemara thinks that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the word ish could have been omitted here in the pasuk, and we'll explain that as we go along. But lav lemeimar, if we emphasize the word ish, which seems, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to be superfluous, then the word ish is coming to tell you something about a yachid, and yashrus hudeli karev, hachovos loli karev. It's coming to tell you that the ish, the yachid, is restricted to a karban nedava. Now, what does that mean? Is that only on a bama ketana or even on a bama gedola? So Gemara says hachovos lo likrov, the yachid should not be makriv karban chova. The Gemara assumes that means period, flat period, that the yachid doesn't have any ability to bring a karban chova, not in a bama ketana, which even Rabbi Yehuda would agree to, but not even in a bama gedola. If it's a karban chova, it's not yashar be'enav, and the ish, the yachid, is excluded from a karban chova, even in a bama gedola. Again, the fact that he's excluded from a, as I said before, from a bama ketana, that's true even according to Rabbi Yehuda. chova is not acceptable on a bama ketana. But as far as a bama gedola is concerned, now we should exclude even from a bama gedola. So again, the Gemara is pushing the agenda here against Rabbi Yehuda that a carbon chova, the yachid, cannot be makriv even in a bama gedola. And now we get to the analysis that underlies this, the thrust of this Gemara about, you know, pushing the word ish. Because let's argue from the opposite position. If the word ish is not coming to limit and exclude a yachid from chova on a bama gedola, but rather it's only on a bama ketana, and the word ish is only teaching us that a yachid cannot be makriv a karban chova on a bama ketana, is limited to nedarim and nedavos, then let's drop the word ish. Why? If the Torah would have said kol ayosha be'enov, that would have been sufficient. Why? Because the word be'enov, according to Rabbi Yehuda, as we saw earlier, is identified as a bama ketana. And therefore we understand that we're talking about a yachid. I mean, who's makriv on a bama ketana? It's got to be a yachid. And we understand now from the pasuk of Yosha B'enov that the yachid could only bring his karbon on a bama ketana if it's a Yosha B'enov karbon, if it's a karbon adava. And he can't bring a karbon chov on a bama ketana. Therefore, we don't need the word ishia to tell me that we're talking about a yachid. I mean, obviously, if we're talking about a bama ketana, because the word yasha, the words yasha be'enov, especially the word be'enov means bama ketana, then obviously we're talking about restricting the yachid to what? Again, if you're going to tell me only to a bama ketana the way Rabbi Yehuda has it, then why do we need the word ish? Even without the word ish, we would understand from this pasuk that it's yasha b'enov, that in a bama ketana, the yachid is only allowed to bring a karban adava. The extra word ish would seem to imply that we're excluding the yachid from the bama gedola situation. That would be the next chiddush, which would be the shitas chachamim, as we discussed before. So therefore, it's pasha that we don't need the word ish to teach me that the tzibur is allowed to bring a karban chova. Now again, you know, you could have said the following, that maybe the word ish here is added to teach me something about a bama ketana, namely that the tzibur is allowed to bring even a karban chov on a bama ketana, but that's not relevant because the tzibur doesn't bring any karbanos on a bama ketana. The whole institution, the whole enterprise of a bama ketana is only to expand the possibilities, to make available for the yachid the possibility of bringing his karban. So the Gemara answers, kiksiv ish lahachshir sazar, that the extra word ish that you're talking about as a superfluous word is for a totally different reason. We're talking about a bama ketana, that's called the enov, and we want to know who is going to do the hakrava on a bama ketana. Is it a kohen? No, it's even a zar. And that's who the word ish comes to include, even a zar. The Gemara is not so happy about this because we have a different source from which we derive the hechsher of a zar and a bama ketana, and that is zar mi vizorak. This is in Vayikra Yitzayim, mi vizorak hakoynes adam al mizbach Hashem pesachol moed. Nafka, we can derive this conclusion because the Torah is telling us vizorak hakoyn. When do we need the coin to serve this role as the zorik, as being makir of the korban? That's only pesach oel moed. Then we need a coin, but in a bama, as opposed to a bama gedola or a mishkan, you know, in this case we're talking about a mishkan, is we don't need a kohen. So again, why did the Torah have the word teva, the extra word ish, if not to teach me that a yachid is excluded from hakrovas karban chova on a bama gedola? Against Rabbi Yehuda, where he answers, ma'u detema, even though a zar is kosher b'bama, I would think liboy kiddush b'choros kidameikar. Maybe on the when we go back, when we have a bama, we should revert back to the original avoda, the Bama throws us back to the way back times before the Levim were and the Kohanim were established for the Avodah, and therefore the responsibility of Avodah is on the shoulders of the Bechor. Is Kamash Malan. That's why I need this Pasuk to teach me Ish, then in a Bama, any Ish is sufficient. We don't need neither a Kohen nor a Bechor. So this is where we'll stop for today. We're on Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, and we're up to Chachamim. And that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9 lines down from the top.